Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Acme Lithium, a company positioned near the epicenter of lithium production in the United States. Since 1966, Nevada's Clayton Valley has been the primary production source for lithium in all of North America. Acme Lithium holds two promising lithium projects in the Clayton Valley region. Acme Lithium, U.S. trading symbol ACLHF, and in Canada, ACME. Web address, acmelithium.com. That's acmelithium.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Mexico. The president of Mexico, López Obrador, has for some time been concentrating power in the executive. I've been guided to understand that this has circumstances that are challenging, not only for the people of Mexico, but for all of North America, for all of the Americas. And Mary Anastasia O'Grady is the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Two instances of concentration of power by the president. The first is about to take place on Palm Sunday, April 10th, a referendum. Mary, a very good evening to you. How does this referendum help concentrate power in the hands of the president? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Well, as you know, Mexico has six-year terms for their presidents. And this president came in not only with a very large popular vote, he also got control of both houses of Congress. And he announced that he was going to transform Mexico in a way that was historic. He called it the fourth transformation of Mexico, even though for most people who watch him, it seems like it's just going back to the old way when power was very concentrated in the executive. And that's the objective that he has. Now, he's more than 3 years through his presidency. He came in December of 2018. And there'll be another election in July of 2024. So the clock is ticking, and he hasn't made as much progress in transforming Mexico as he wanted to. Mexico has some pluralism. The opposition has managed to fight back. There have been different elections where, he hasn't swept in ways that would allow him to sort of just decree changes that he wants. So now, more than halfway through his term, he says, I need to have another vote that reaffirms my overwhelming popularity. And so I want to have this recall referendum. The recall referendum we normally think of as something that the opposition calls for. But in this case, the president called for because he thought that he could get a huge wave of voters saying, yes, yes, AMLO, we want more. And now as we come up on the recall referendum, which, as you noted, is April 10th, I think what has to worry AMLO is that turnout will not be high. And turnout will be the key feature here. If turnout is low, which is very likely because it's a vote in the middle of a term, there's no other votes happening at the same time. And if turnout is low, it will very much deflate his whole agenda, which was have this recall referendum, reaffirm your popularity, reaffirm your mandate, and then go out and be able to decree all kinds of changes that you want and tell people, never mind those institutions which belong to the elite. I'm the last word here. And he's not going to be able to do that unless he gets a strong turnout.
The strong turnout is one representation of his power. The other is a Byzantine relationship he has with the Supreme Court. Mary, you report in your column that this turns on a regulatory commission about energy, but it's much more than that. It's who's for me and who's against me on the Supreme Court. How does it go? Because apparently the president believes he has been victorious in a decision that was made in these last hours.
Yes. Well, let's start with the fact that there are 11 seats on the Supreme Court. But when they reformed the Supreme Court in 1995, I believe, they made it so that in order for the court to declare a law unconstitutional, it needs to have a supermajority, which would be 8-3. And if in the absence of that supermajority, a law would stand. So fast forward to yesterday, or actually Tuesday, when the deliberation began, the court is asked to decide whether a major restructuring of the energy market, particularly aimed at electricity, is going to be considered constitutional. The bill was passed. It's a total reform of the energy market, and it changes things in ways that quite clearly contravene the Constitution. I mean, the whole idea of the reform of the energy market that's been done in Mexico is to welcome in private investment, foreign investors, and to ensure that there's a level playing field among different competitors. And this is all aimed at, you know, creating an environment where more investment will come in, and that will help create more energy, drive down prices, provide the supply that Mexico needs in order to produce, you know, become a manufacturing hub, which it's trying to do, you know, into the U.S. market. So those reforms were done. Now you have AMLO, who says, no, I don't like these reforms at all. I want the government to be in charge of the electricity market. And this is challenged. This is challenged by minority members of the Congress and some other interests, including the Competition Commission. And yesterday, the court did say in a majority, 7-4, that the law is unconstitutional. But as I mentioned before, that's not enough to strike down a law. You need 8-3. So the law stands, but it also means, in a very sort of Byzantine way that's hard for us to understand, that lower court judges, because it had a majority opposed to it, lower court judges have no obligation to enforce the law. And so I think what we're going to see here is lots of challenges to the law, and eventually it's going to make its way back to the Supreme Court in a manner that will allow the court to strike down different measures with a simple majority. And the reason that's important is because, on the one hand, AMLO is going about today saying that he prevailed, he won, isn't this great victory? But on the other hand, Mexico is not going to have any investment in electricity or other energy areas for the next 2 years. And these are the next 2 years of AMLO's government. And I think it's going to backfire on him, because he's going to be measured in a large part on the economy. And with a law like this in place, he's really shooting himself in the foot.
Mary, my memory is that AMLO moved at the midterms to take much control of the Mexican government, perhaps enough to change the Constitution. We just have a minute or so. Are all these maneuvers, which are quite intricate, are they in the same trail? He's looking to influence the Constitution and to remain in power, or to choose his own successor?
Well, that's certainly, I think, what he wants to do. And I think he understands that the Supreme Court is a key lever for that. He's named four people to the court. One of those seats was vacated using dirty tricks that his financial investigation unit used to push someone off the court. But what's interesting is that two of the four people that he named to the court did not vote with him on this matter. So he does have his hand in the court. He's influenced judges. There's no question about that. And he will continue to try to do that. But I want to be just marginally optimistic with my Mexican friends today and say, you know, he may have won this by a very narrow margin but in many ways he's lost, because he's damaged the investment profile of the country. And it's clear that members of the court who he named are not willing to go along with him on everything. So I think there's still reason for some optimism, but you know, the battle is going to continue for another 2 years.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor at the Wall Street Journal editorial board. I'm John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.